This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's go to the hotline. On the line right now, Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
How'd I do?
I would say like a 9.
Okay.
Because there was a certain, like, you took it like an octave higher or lower, I guess. Mayo. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciated the concerted effort to show additional enthusiasm.
What do I need to do to get to a 10, Ross? We've been doing this 3 weeks now. What needs to be done for me to get to a 10 on that read?
I don't know. It's kind of like... We'll know it when you do it.
It's like porn. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know it when you see it. Right, right.
You know what's so funny? That's exactly what I was thinking, but I didn't know if I should say that or not.
That's all right.
And I know that's what, like, a judge famously said at one point.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to say that, so I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
No, just so Sean's strategy will be keep 20 tabs open on his computer and see which one he likes best.
That's exactly
just,
right.
He'll play all 20 of them all at once. Well, I guess the fitting one this week would have been something with Jerod Mayo, because the Texans face a Patriots team led by Jerod Mayo.
Damn it.
We could have cut him a royalty check for the live read. But look, Ross, this is second week in a row the Texans are going against one of your former teams, and one that's, you know, a lot different than when you played for the New England Patriots. This is a team in transition. How much should the Texans fear the rookie debut by Drake May? You know, like the rookie QB. There's so many times various quarterbacks like Will Levis will come out and they'll have an incredible first performance because teams just don't know what to expect. And sometimes those guys end up being great. Sometimes they go down in flames. What's your feeling on Drake May and his potential for an awesome rookie debut?
You know, it's interesting the fact that you bring up Levis. Because I just got done. I know we usually talk on Tuesdays, but it's a Thursday. And I know you're a listener, Seth, but just got done talking with Greg Cosell for today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And the two things he said that I thought were really interesting are, number one, he said he thought he was the toolsiest quarterback in the draft. Meaning, you know, we know he was the third guy to go off the board, after Caleb Williams, after Jaden Daniels. But if you just stack up all the things that you're looking for in a quarterback, right, like size, speed, arm strength, all those things, I mean, he's bigger than Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. He probably has a stronger arm. He's not faster than Jaden Daniels, but he's fast. Like, I don't know if you guys know that, but Drake May can run.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a legit athlete. And it is interesting to me that you brought up Will Levis because, you know, you're right. When Levis got the job last year, he had some really impressive games out of the gate. Sometimes it's because the D coordinators don't really know how to scheme for him yet. I think sometimes it's because the offensive coordinators just pare the game plan down and really simplify it with, like, you know, one read plays. And a lot of times it works, you know, like the first read's open, the guy rips it, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, this guy's awesome. And then it's like, well, then once teams are taking away the first read, because right now I guess I would say the Texans defensively, they don't really know how the Patriots will use him and what the first read will be on some of these plays. So that's an interesting part. But the flip side, and Greg mentioned this, he's going into a terrible situation. I mean, they're a horrible team. They're, like, if you look, their bottom five O-line and their bottom five skill position, and I think an argument can be made that they're worst, like dead last in the league at both. Remember those commercials where, was it a commercial or a movie where they were like, young, dumb, and drunk is no way to go through life or something?
Oh,
like
that was
that.
Animal House. Like, that was Animal House. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, let me just tell you.
Blutowski did die. Group,
worst skill position group and worst O-line is no way to put a rookie quarterback in. But that's what they're doing, so it's going to be entertaining.
Mr. Mayo, 0.0. Yeah. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Ross, what are the Texans to you at this point, 5 games into the season? Where are they on the power rankings and the fact that they're 4-1 but have a negative point differential? Like, what do you see in the Texans so far, 5 games into the season?
Yeah, that game, it's funny because I was in a hotel in Kansas City, and so I had the red zone up on my laptop, but then in the hotel room, I had Texans Bills. Mm-hmm. So getting a chance to watch the whole game, that's the worst I've ever seen Josh Allen play. And so I don't know. You got to give the Texans defense at least a decent amount of the credit, right? I mean, I don't know if I'll give them all the credit for that, but they deserve a decent amount of the credit for making Josh Allen look that bad. I think my other takeaway, Sean, was that's a huge positive for the Texans defense. My other takeaway is feel like the Texans are kind of a different team without Nico Collins. You know, when they had him earlier in the game, it just felt like they were really rolling and, okay, here we go. And then after he was out, it seemed like they were lacking something on offense. They had those turnovers that were obviously costly, but they ended up finding a way to win the game, which is the best news out of the whole thing, right? You know, you have all that stuff go wrong. You lose Collins, you have the turnovers, but you still win, which I think is encouraging. And I think they're still not firing on all cylinders, which is probably why it's a good time to play the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's funny. Sean and I were like quadruple checking our facts this morning because every team in the NFL, the fan base is convinced that their offensive coordinator runs the ball on first down way too much. Like that's just it's 32 teams. The Texans are the prime example of that, where I just get flooded with people telling me every week, Seth, they call a run every single first down. The Texans actually pass the ball on first down more frequently than any other team in the league. They're 70% of the time they on first down, they're passing the ball, and yet they're just so bad at running the ball that that's what sticks in people's brains. I don't even fault them for it. They cannot run the ball effectively. And Ross, what? I mean, I feel like they've made progress in some regards, and yet I look up at the end of the game and Ogunbowale's averaged 2 yards per carry in the game. Cam Akers had more success. Like, where from you watching last week's game, where are they in the run game right now?
They're not in a good spot, and it's surprising because when you have the receivers that they have, there's absolutely no way that they should be struggling as much as they are, because they were running it better earlier with Mixon. And yeah, I think Mixon and Pierce are probably better than Akers and Dare, but I'm still a little surprised that they struggled as much as they did, because they were getting a decent amount of two safety looks, right? Like,
yeah,
that is absolutely where they should have been able to run the ball. They need to, and Slowick knows it, right? Slowick knows they can't possibly have the offense they want to have if they can't run it when they're getting the two deep safety looks.
Ross Tucker joining us here. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Ross, the big news this week, the Jets firing Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers was resentful of anybody accusing him of being involved in the firing of Robert Saleh. Where are you on that? Are you buying Aaron Rodgers right now, saying he had nothing to do with this thing?
Well, so let's talk about that, right? Supposedly, Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers talked Monday night on the phone. And then the next morning, Woody Johnson fired Robert Saleh. So both have said that they didn't talk about Robert Saleh. So I think you have to first decide whether or not you believe that. Okay?
Yep.
And then secondly, let's just take them at face value. Let's say we do believe them. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, isn't it weird yes. that the owner talks to the quarterback the night before and then fires the coach the next day but didn't mention it at all to the quarterback? I mean, you know, these guys, they really got to get their stories straight. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Because that doesn't sound real good either. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either.
You know what, Ross? I'm thinking back to various conversations. As I got to be an older player in the NFL, there would be times where, you know, maybe one of the scouts or maybe with a GM himself or somebody might just kind of, I don't know, approach me in a way that wasn't normal, but like just kind of almost I could tell that they were trying to casually ask me about a player. And they're like, yeah, so how do you think this guy's coming along? And I'm like, oh, crap. They're trying to figure out whether to cut this guy or not. And I'm like, and they're not going to say that directly or anything, but they're asking questions to try to maybe see like something like positive about this guy that they're missing or something. So I feel like it does happen where owners and coaches, they know they don't want to put a player in a position where they're getting somebody fired. And because then you got all kinds of team chemistry and trust issues and everything. But I wonder if that's the most likely explanation, is that Woody Johnson had a talk with Aaron Rodgers, and in his mind, he's trying to figure out whether he should fire Robert Saleh or not. And he was maybe waiting for Aaron Rodgers to say something that could salvage Robert Saleh or not seal his fate. And without having a transcript of the conversation, we just don't know. It's just that the Jets have done everything to bend over backwards to Aaron Rodgers' will. I think that at the very least, I feel comfortable that Rodgers could have saved Robert Saleh's job if he had wanted to, and he probably didn't. Does that seem fair?
You know, what I would say, though, I think two things. Number one, I think Aaron Rodgers is so sensitive to the notion that he would have anything to do with Saleh's being fired, and knowing that that would be a bad look for him, that they went out of the way to say that it wasn't discussed at all, you know, which is just not believable, right? The other thing I think is that I'm starting to feel like maybe turning over the entire organization to a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles who's no longer a top 10 player at the position is not the best idea.
Might have been a bad strategy. Yeah.
Jets fans should blame Tom Brady for this yet again, for their misery in their life.
Anybody who's got a quarterback over 40 should be blaming Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're like, well, they're just trying to do the old Tom Brady thing. Yep. And just like we've seen with various coaches, you can't just always just do the old Tom Brady thing. It's not quite that simple.
Work that way. Our Odyssey NFL insider is Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I kind of did it the same, so I'm expecting a 9 again on that, Ross, just on the way out here.
No, that was worse. That was worse.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it was worse. That was like an 8.
Okay. All right. Well, at least I'm still like kind of in the upper reaches, but I've got some ideas as to how I can get to a 10. Someone's asking, is this going to be a season-long bit on how you read the promo? Until I get a 10, yes. This is going to be a bit. I need perfection. I strive for it in my life.
When you say someone's asking, that it's on the text line or something?
Yeah, it's on the text line. Yeah, oh, by the way, real quick, I know you got to bounce, Ross, but you'll like this. A Navy veteran texted us and said, over the weekend I was checking in on Navy versus Air Force. I found myself watching the entire game because of the pleasant call by Ross Tucker. Please give him some kudos when you all talk.
Oh, you know what? Ross. So first of all, thank you to that gentleman for his service,
yes,
and for the kind words. And Navy is legit, dude. This is the best Navy team in a long time. Navy and Army are both 5-0,
yeah,
and they both play Notre Dame this year. I'm telling you, I think one of them is going to beat Notre Dame. Maybe. I mean, they are good. Really
Ross,
good.
Ross, do you have 1 minute so I can say something else nice about you?
Yeah. Listen, it's like when someone comes up to me and they say, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I just love you on the radio. I always say the same thing, and it embarrasses my wife. I'm like, you're not bothering me. I love people that love me.
Yes.
I love people.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure, Seth. Tell me more how great I am. Please.
I got to say, I think one of the reasons people like you doing color commentary is that you just feel like an everyman. And I think a lot of people would be really, really, like, really surprised that you went to Princeton. And, but I feel like...
What does that mean?
I feel like especially, though...
Hey, can you stay for a backhanded compliment?
Listen, Ross,
That was a shot.
No, it's important for you.
Seth just said on the radio that I sound like a moron on TV, is what he just said.
No, if you want to do right by your alma mater, I'll tell you what, Princeton is taking a lot of hits right now because there's so many Menendez brothers documentaries out. And in every single one of them, Lyle Menendez, Princeton attendee, looks like the dumbest rock in a box full of stupid rocks. It's a bad look for Princeton, all this Menendez stuff. And you're kind of counterbalancing that a little bit.
That is not where I saw
this
going.
What are you even talking about right now?
Lyle Menendez is a bad look for Princeton, man. Those kids could have gotten away with that crime.
I didn't even know he went to Princeton.
Whatever. Oh,
he
now you're whatever, Aaron Rodgers.
So I didn't hang out with him, and I don't care.
I heard you guys were always hanging out together on the quad.
Oh my god!
Or whatever they do there. Your dining clubs or whatever.
Hey Ross. Can you stick around for a couple more backhanded compliments?
No. What people really like about me on TV is I sound like an absolute idiot. That's great. Thank you, Seth.
A lot of times, the backhanded compliment I'll get is people are like, I just like, you like Ross, and you like Seth. I like Ross because he sounds like a slightly more sober version of you, Seth.
That's great. All right, Ross, we'll cut you loose, man. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
See you guys.
All right, thanks, Ross Tucker. I was like, man, Seth, this is really nice. And then all of a sudden, just a total drive-by on Princeton is all that was. That's all that was. Seth had some Princeton guy chop his legs out back in 1996 in a college football game, and he's going to take it out on Ross Tucker 30 years later.
Honestly, I'm watching these Menendez brother things, and like Lyle Menendez, it's one of those classic things where I don't want to get into the whole Menendez brother stuff.
Oh,
he
God.
Did some really stupid stuff in trying to cover up his crime to the point where you're like, I honestly was like, this is a really bad look for Princeton. Like the guy, they're showing his letters and like simple words are misspelled and everything. It's
That's tough. That's tough. The solid thing is interesting. The sense I get is Ross is not buying Aaron Rodgers. That's the sense I get.